chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know, we did look a little bit at 1 Timothy the last time that I did a Tuesday and Wednesday service, which was 2 weeks ago, if I remember correctly. And I wonder if any of the men or young men remember I said there were two dominant features, major subjects of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Does anybody remember what they are? Anybody remember? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Many. Okay. Elders. It was one of the subjects. What was the other subject? I didn't do much on it. Bill, are you?
Widows.
Widows, right. Okay. Now, what I'd like to look at is a verse and a subject tonight that's not too terribly easy to understand, and that's wine. And we're not going to do a full-blown study on it tonight, just enough to give you the essentials. Why is wine not easy to understand? Well, look at verse 23. This is the verse I'm going to particularly get around to tonight. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, it's not easy to understand what this verse means. Maybe you think you know what it means, but it's not that easy for me to know exactly what it means. But why is wine not easy to understand? Well, there are two very important reasons. Number one, those that love to drink booze, they'd love to point to some kind of a justification in the Bible that it's all right to drink. And so those that drink booze and love booze, they like to say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, therefore, you know, it's all right for me to drink and get drunk and fall down and beat on people or do all the other things that drunks do. Another verse that most of them don't know is the verse that says that there's wine to gladden the heart of man. Most of them don't know that, so don't tell them about it, because they'll just give them more of an opportunity to pervert their own heart. So, therefore, you have those that they just don't want to understand what anything about wine. But those that do understand about wine, number two, sometimes it's spoken of as evil, and sometimes it's spoken of as good. The Word of God says wine is a mocker, and strong drink is a raging. The Bible says, look not on the wine when it is red. And 1 Timothy 5:23 says kind of the opposite of that. It says, you use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. So this is not the simplest thing to understand. How do we know what wine means and whether it is God's will that we would drink wine or not? Well, there are two ways. I'm going to give you two facts to understand tonight. I'll be brief on both of them. Two facts to understand. And if you're writing it all down, fact number one's kind of long, and so is fact number two. But it's fact number one is kind of long. It's this. The Bible word wine, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the New Testament, covers everything from the juice that is inside the grape, to filtered juice that's not alcoholic, to alcohol which is intoxicating. All right, I'll say it again if you're trying to write it all down. The Bible word wine, whether it's used in the Old Testament or the New Testament, covers everything from the juice that is in the grape, even before it's been squeezed out of the grape, all the way to something that is an intoxicating wine. Now, to a person who has never heard that kind of a statement before, it probably sounds strange to them. And they say, well, you know, that's really a reach, you know? I mean, well, this preacher is trying to stretch something. That doesn't sound like that could be possible to me. It doesn't sound like it could be possible to me, especially that wine could be the juice that's in the grape. Now, I can believe that it's an intoxicating beverage because that's what it is now, but I can't believe that. I think the preacher is trying to stretch it, and to say that wine would cover all those things sounds like a stretch. Well, I'm going to show you that it's not. I'm going to show you right out of the Bible that it's not, and you'll see it. It's simple. Now, sometimes you want to write these things down, you know, in the leaf of your Bible, if you have them, and it's written down. I'm going to give you two verses. If you write down those two verses, you'll be able to answer the gainsayers on these things. And the two verses, I'm going to give it to you, and then we'll look at both of them. Isaiah 65:8 is one of them, and Jeremiah 48:33 is the other. Isaiah 65:8, we'll turn to that first, and then we'll look at Jeremiah 48:33. Isaiah 65:8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. What I want you to notice here is the use of the word. The use of the word is wine. It says, as the new wine is found in the cluster. What's a cluster? It's a cluster of grapes, right? They haven't been squashed yet. See, the Bible only uses that term. It doesn't say as the juice is found in the cluster. It says as the wine is found as the cluster, showing that God uses the term wine when he is speaking about the juice, not only the juice, but the juice that is still in the cluster of grapes. That's very conclusive, isn't it? That alone proves that when God uses the word wine, that he uses it to refer to juice as well as other things. All right, now, turn over to the next book of the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 48, 33. Jeremiah 48, 33. And the joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And here's the phrase I want you to see. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. I have caused the wine to fail from wine presses. What comes out of wine presses? We would call it juice. Juice and more than that. Intoxicating wine doesn't come from wine presses. What comes from wine presses? A wine press is simply a place where they threw all the grapes in and guys jumped in and ran around and squashed it all down and then ran out a little chute. And what ran out that little chute was the juice, with all the stuff that's in it. It would come right out, and God called that wine, the juice that was coming out of the grapes. So here we see that the juice in the grapes, God calls wine. The juice that's coming out of the grapes, God calls wine. And we know that the juice coming out of the grapes is not fermented or alcoholic in any way. So it's clear that God is using the term to refer to something that is non-alcoholic when he uses the term wine. But God also uses the term wine when he is referring to something that can get you very drunk. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Verses 29 to 35. It's a great, great truth. Proverbs 23, 29 to 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women and thine heart shall utter perverse things. This is a perfect description, isn't it? When people are drinking alcoholic fermented wine, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're saying things, utter perverse things that they shouldn't do. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. It's a perfect description of those that drink wine and hard liquor. And so now I have showed you three verses, and in those verses you have seen that God is using it from that juice which is in the grape, to the juice that's crushed out of the grape, to that wine which can get people drunk. So therefore, the one fact that you need to know is the Bible word wine covers everything from the juice inside the grape to filtered juice. We won't go into that at this point, to alcoholic beverage. Now, you might say, you know, why is it? Why is that? Why isn't a word more defining than it is? Well, you know, that's not uncommon when it comes to words. It's not uncommon that words can have more than one meaning. And let me give you an example. Let's suppose that a few hundred years from now, if the Lord were to tarry, and somebody was reading history about our age, and they were reading all about our culture and all kinds of things that took place in our culture. And perhaps even they looked at the energy crisis, and you know, they would come to this word gas. And you know, gas has more than one meaning, doesn't it? And gas is something that you put in an automobile. But then there's also that bottled gas. And you know, if somebody was reading and defining and saying, well, gas means the stuff that they put into an automobile. And if you ignited it, you know, sometimes there were terrible fires and whole cars would burn up, you know. And then they might hear about somebody saying, well, you know, turn on the gas so that we can cook. And so that stuff would explode. And, you know, how can that be? They would get all mixed up. And of course, then, you know, medically there are people who have gas pains. And then there are other kinds of gases. So there is a word that just hearing the word, you do not know for sure what that word means by just isolating and hearing that word. So, how do we know what the word wine means? Number one, the first fact is that the Bible word wine covers everything from juice to booze. Number two, here's fact number two. To know whether it is juice or whether it is fermented is by the context. Exactly the same way that you would know what kind of gas somebody was talking about, because the word itself would not define it. You would have to know what the context was. If the person says, I need some gas in my car, you know what gas means. And it's the same way in the Word of God. To know what the word wine means, whether it is alcoholic or whether it's not alcoholic, is by the context of Scripture. All right, we just read one. Proverbs 23 was very clear as to what it did to a person. So you know, therefore, that is alcoholic, and that it is wicked, and that God condemns it. On the other hand, if you were to turn quickly to Psalm 104, and verse 15, this is what it says. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Where do you get this? Bread strengthens his heart. Wine makes his heart glad. It's not talking about alcoholic wine, because that's good. That which is good for someone. Now, of course, I just have to briefly say, you know, some people say, well, Jesus turned water into wine. And again, we know that is not alcoholic wine simply because Jesus is the God of the Bible. He would never contradict anything in the Bible. And the Bible says the wine is a mocker and strong drink is a raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's Proverbs 20, verse 1. Jesus would not contradict that by making alcoholic wine. And I have pointed out that the wine that Jesus made, that he made some perhaps 100 gallons, which would make for if you were doing fifths, that would be 500 fifths of wine. You know, usually you don't have 500 people attending a wedding, not in Cana, Galilee, you know, and one big population there. You know? And they'd already been drinking some. If they were drinking, they would all been dead drunk, drinking as much as Jesus made. So Jesus did not turn the water into wine. All right, now, just when we think we have all the answers, you know, and this is what happens to us many times when we're studying the Word of God. The light dawns, we think we have all the answers. Just when we have all the answers, we're reading along, we come to 1 Timothy 5:23. So let's go back there. 1 Timothy 5:23. Just when we think we got it pegged, and whenever we see the word wine, we're just going to figure out what it means. And we come to a verse like this. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And what kind of wine is this? The last thing I can tell you about this is I don't know. I don't know. But I'm sure, get this, I'm sure Timothy knew. And after all, it was directed to him and his infirmity. He had some kind of stomach problem. And the Holy Spirit suggested wine, a little, just a little, to help him with his often infirmity. I have always believed that this might be an alcoholic type of wine. The best study on wine that I have ever seen in all my life is in this little book called Bible Wines and the Laws of Fermentation, the Wines of the Ancients by William Patton. Excellent, excellent study done perhaps more than 100 years ago, or maybe about 100 years ago. This is what he says about this passage. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. The fact is plain that Timothy, in strict accordance with the directions not given to wine, that is, not with or near the wine, was a total abstainer. Great point, isn't it? You see, the fact that the apostle had to tell him to take a little bit of wine for his stomach's sake showed that he was already obeying the word of God by not taking any. He was an abstainer, which in a way leads me to believe that it was alcoholic wine that he's talking about here in this verse. However, Patton doesn't particularly think that. He says the recommendation to use a little wine is exceptional and strictly medicinal. As there existed in the Roman Empire in which Timothy traveled, a variety of wines differing from each other in character, we cannot decide that it was alcoholic wine that Paul recommended. Then he gives some philosophers who made statements, you know, about the wines of their days caused headaches, dropsy, madness, stomach complaints. The same writers tell us that wines destitute of all strength were exceedingly wholesome and useful to the body. Pliny mentions a wine in good repute, that is, without power, without strength, which the alcoholic wine translates, for all the sick wine is most useful when its forces have been broken by the strainer. So his research into what they were saying at that time was that the wine that was the most helpful for ailments was a wine that was not a fermented wine, that had been strained many times and was of benefit. That leaves us with a place we don't know. One last thing to say about all this. You know, if you read commentaries, one of the reasons why, you know, I get upset with commentaries is some of the things that some of the very best of them say. I went to one of my commentaries, Kenneth Wiest, well known for his word pictures in the New Testament or something like that, generally does a good job. And when he writes on this, he copies another well-known commentator, Vincent. And he just, you know, he says a lot of things. And basically what he said, well, the word wine, you know, it always means fermented. Well, I've just demonstrated that that's not true. I don't know where they got that. You know, these guys are supposed to be scholars. I don't understand it. I don't know what they were reading. Maybe they only read a few words or something. I don't know. And then he copies, Wiest is copying Vincent, and so they're both in effect saying, you know, maybe this verse shouldn't have been in the Bible. It's about that time when you want to take those books and throw them in a basket. You know, I don't understand it, so it must not have been in the Bible. You know what we did? That's a problem a human being has. Because what we should be saying is, I don't understand it. It means that my understanding isn't good enough yet. All right, now, what does this verse mean to me? What does it mean to me? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. What it means to me is that though this was directed to Timothy and his physical needs, it tells me that there's a principle here, and that is that there is a legitimate use for drugs when a person is sick. When you get the right drug for the right sickness, you've got something that if a person wasn't sick, it shouldn't be used because it would have a bad effect on them. But if the doctor matches the correct drug for the sickness, that it can be beneficial. Alcohol is a drug, and that's why I said that. And in this case, the direction, the doctor, was the Holy Spirit. So it had to be the right and correct medicine for him. And so we know then it wouldn't be prohibited. You see, you'd be silly if he said to a doctor, I can't take a drug because I'm against drugs. You know? And he'd think there was something wrong with you. I tell doctors I don't want to take that drug because it seems to always do something bad to me instead. But anyway, it is legitimate in the eyes of God. So, how do we know what the word wine means? Number one, the Bible word wine covers everything from juice to booze. Number two, you know whether it's juice or fermented by the context. And that's the way that you can identify wine in the Bible, except every once in a while you come to a place like this. And it's hard to know exactly what it was. But we don't have to know, so we can go on our way praising the Lord. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for the word of God, for the truth of it. We pray, Lord, that as we learn some of these things, we might be helpful to others in pointing out what the scripture says and then in leading them to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you might bless us now as we depart and for those needs that might have ordinarily been brought before these two groups last night and tonight, I pray that thy hand might be upon them to bless those needs and meet the needs of folks. And we trust thee for all the things that we undertake in thy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.